Desolation Angel Radio, April 2nd, 2020. Kip Williams with you. Took a night off to kind of collect myself. And tonight we have interviews with two incredibly beautiful, brilliant souls here in Buffalo. Avi Shalom and Bridge Rauch, who have been instrumental in the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network and also have some truly incredible, beautiful things to say about what they're seeing out of people and what they're seeing looking ahead. As always, I'll start with a song and then I'll launch into Avi's interview and do a little voice break, little song, and then into Bridges' interview and then close with the things I have to say in another song. But right now, I think what I want to play, Jackson Brown very presciently wrote a song called A Little Soon to Say, and also announced yesterday that he had been diagnosed with COVID-19. So, Jackson, with A Little Soon to Say.
I came for inspiration. I came looking for grace and found my reflection in every passing face. And everyone who gathered standing on that shore, searching the horizon, not knowing what exactly. Searching the horizon for what we can't quite see, when all we've ever needed has been there all along inside you and me. I wanna see you holding up your light. I wanna see you light the way. But whether everything will be alright, just a little soon to say. I didn't find much wisdom when time was on my side. Too little information, too much time to decide. I took a couple wrong turns. It only takes you one to send you down a lifetime of wondering what you might have done. Searching for a lifetime for what you wanna see, when all we've ever needed has been there all along inside of you and me. I wanna see you holding out your light. I wanna see you find your way beyond the sirens and the broken night, beyond the sameness of all day. And after what we've come to live with, just a little soon to say.
I came for inspiration. I came looking for truth and joined in the celebration, the passing of my youth. We're here but for a moment, and none of us can see beyond the horizon what kind of world this world will be. Searching the horizon for what we hope to see. When all we've ever needed has been there all along inside of you and me. I wanna see you holding out your light. I wanna see you like the way. Beyond the sickness of our day, and after all we've come to live with, I wanna know if you're okay. I wanna think it's gonna be alright. It's just a little soon to say.
As I promised in the beginning of the show, I'm here with Avi Shalom, who's here in Buffalo, just this beautiful soul and spirit that I've gotten to know, and I'm really happy and proud to have in my life as a friend. And how are you today, Avi?
Today I'm doing just fine. Thanks for asking, Kip. Yeah. I got a lot of things going on, but relative, everything's doing good today.
Right. And how have you been through this? Because up here we're entering into week two. You know, week three, actually, we've been through 2 weeks of it.
Yeah, it's always a tough question these days. I feel like I have been different every single day, and sometimes different every single hour. So, I'm just trying to stay focused on the present, staying focused on today and on this hour. And right now I'm doing pretty good. So,
yeah. The universe works in synchronicity, because one of the things that really started coming to mind for me yesterday and has been really prevalent today was I refuse to call it a trick or a life hack. It's a tool from 12-step work and remembering one day at a time. And if I can't do a day, 1 hour at a time. And if I can't do an hour, a now at a time.
Yeah.
And today's one of those days where I'm having to be very present a now at a time. Because I don't think I can handle the next hour or the next day.
All right, yeah. So I want to throw that question back to you. How have you been doing just today or this hour?
Today is Thursday, or Wednesday the 2nd. Is it Wednesday? We're losing track of days. It's Wednesday. Friday, yeah. Yeah,
it's Thursday the 2nd.
Yeah, it's Thursday the 2nd. And today's actually been a pretty tough day. I got a text this morning. And I think you saw it on Facebook that described what my son's day is like. He's an ICU RN in a COVID-19 unit over at U of M Hospital in Detroit, Ann Arbor, right outside Detroit. So that's another hot spot right now. And I'm proud of him and I'm terrified for him at the same time.
Yeah.
So today is, and I've had to kind of avoid social media a little bit, because today is one of those days where everybody handles things in their own way and they handle it the best they can. And I can't be judgmental, but anything funny or flippant today is not striking me as funny or flippant.
Yeah.
You know how that goes? Yeah. You have someone that you love and that is near and dear to you right on the front lines as well. Do you not?
I do. So, I'm in a pretty interesting situation. I got family all over the world, whether it's San Francisco, London, Israel, New York City. So my family was pretty you know, early on directly affected by this, whether it was my, you know, brother in San Francisco getting some of the first quarantine orders in the country, to, you know, the entire country of Israel being locked down, and, my brother saying that he sees people outside, you know, spraying disinfectant everywhere. So I've been kind of seeing the reality of this for quite some time. But my mom is a family physician, a primary care physician in Montefiore at a hospital in New York City. And right now she is still going into work. She luckily is not seeing many or any patients right now, as they're trying to do as many things as they can through telehealth. But she still has to come into the hospital and travel into the city every single day until further notice. And then just talking with her earlier this week, she talked about how more and more people, including doctors in her own clinic, are being asked to go to the COVID-19 units. And now she's just kind of realized that out of the rest of the doctors in her clinic, she is the youngest one, being at 67 years old, about, and, you know, the other doctors that are working with her are even older. So there's definitely anxiety there. There's definitely fear that, you know, they're going to ask her to do something that she might not be completely comfortable with. And then that's putting not just her at risk, but my father at risk as well, who lives with her out in New Jersey, in Teaneck, New Jersey, which is actually like the epicenter for COVID-19 in New Jersey. So, yeah, it's definitely hit a lot of different parts of the family. But, you know, we're doing our best.
I get that. I understand it so well, because I was born and raised in Michigan and lived 20 years right there in Ipsy, Ann Arbor, just outside Detroit. Then I moved to New Orleans, and now I'm living here in New York State. It's kind of like everyone I know in my life is surrounded by it, affected by it. And for those people who listen to this show that aren't in one of those epicenters, I think that you've heard it on the show night after night, and I'm going to say it again. This is very real, ladies and gentlemen, and this is coming at you, you know, if you're not severely affected by it yet. This is coming at you, you know. Would you agree with that, Avi?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a weird situation where even if it's not coming directly for you, like it's coming in places like New York and Detroit, it's affecting your life in some way. And there might be places where it doesn't get hit very hard, whether it's due to good social distancing or luck or what have you. This is going to affect everyone in some way, but it might not. Not everybody's going to see kind of like the things that we're seeing in New York City. But that's no reason to not take this seriously.
Yeah. And you touched on something briefly in a sentence that you and I had talked about before COVID-19, and the fact that everyone's going to be touched by it and everything is going to be changed permanently. And I really believe that things will change coming out of this. And what do you think?
I mean, there is no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it in more ways than one. I think the real challenge is, you know, thinking about what is going to change and what's going to be in its place. So I am hopeful, you know, I'm hopeful that things are going to change and there will be a lot of opportunities. But, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities, including military powers to take advantage of the situations and enormous geopolitical change. So Opportunities are pretty big.
Yeah, the opportunities are huge. And like I said, this is almost going to be a two-night conversation because I have a guest on tomorrow night, and she and I were talking all morning about that aspect of it as well. And how do you get into the mix and steer that change? And that takes me right where I want to go with this, because you and I have had somewhat similar reactions to this situation, and that is to get out there and help and do as much as we can. And folks, Avi has been part of, from the ground up, from day one, of building the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network, a peer-to-peer network of trying to get resources to people who need them, and ways to do that that are safe and effective and works from a common ground standpoint. And I love you so much for doing that, you know, for showing that kind of heart and soul with it and being that deep in it. You want to talk about that a little bit, how that developed and where that came from?
Yeah, of course, man. I appreciate the kind words, and I know that we definitely have some overlapping things here. But before we jump away from this topic, I just wanted to share a quote, and then I'll kind of go into the Mutual Aid Network. But this is a quote by Milton Friedman, a great economist from the 20th century, that said, "Only a crisis, actual or perceived, produces real change. When that crisis occurs, the actions that are taken depend on the ideas that are lying around. That, I believe, is our basic function, to develop alternatives to existing policies, to keep them alive and available until the politically impossible becomes the politically inevitable." And I think we're really seeing that, whether it's these federal checks that are coming out to everyone or these mutual aid networks popping up all over the place, people are seeing ideas that a couple months ago seemed impossible, like universal basic income of a $1,000 check coming to every American. That seemed really impossible just a couple months ago, becoming inevitable. And I think these mutual aid networks that are popping up all over the place are a huge part of this idea of what ideas are lying around during this crisis. And for a lot of people, those ideas are, how can I help? How can I give back to my community? And this Buffalo Mutual Aid Network is just one of many, many, many different local groups that have popped up. Either they were already existing before this crisis, or they came out of nowhere, kind of like the one here in Buffalo, as a response to this crisis. And it's really a community of neighbors helping neighbors. We have people from all over the Buffalo and Western New York region, including people as far as Lockport and down in Chautauqua County. But we also have, you know, a lot of different neighborhoods that are starting to come together, whether it's North Buffalo or folks on the east side or on the west side. And apart from having community members in this group asking for help, whether it's trying to get them groceries because they don't have enough money, or availability to go to a food bank, or they just are scared to go to the grocery store because they have immunocompromised people in the house. It's really a matter of just finding neighbors who want to help, and then finding those neighbors who are in need of help, and connecting the two. And so with the help of several different people, including Clinton and Bridge and Holly and Abby and a lot of other folks who've put a lot of really great work into this. We have a group of about 10 or 11, you know, team leaders kind of jumping together that just did not expect to do this less than a month ago, and just took this on and said, you know what, I'm going to put in my time. I see this need in my community. And in under 3 weeks, we have over 2,000 people in this Facebook group. We've raised over $5,000, redistributed over $1,000, and gotten food out on more than 25 different deliveries. And this was something that did not even exist 3 or 4 weeks ago.
And let me jump in, because not only did it not exist 3 or 4 weeks ago, it's a well-known fact that I like hang out with a bunch of people younger than me. 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were all at the same party over at Alex Harris. We were. And I don't think anybody expected this to happen. But by the same token, I can see people's souls and hearts when I meet them. And I wouldn't expect any less from all of you, because that's the kind of people you are and always have been. You know, from the day I've met all of you, is the kind of people who just jumped up and said, there's people that need to be taken care of, and we can do this.
We can do this. You know, we don't have to rely on anybody else for support. Mm-hmm. Like, we can mobilize people. Like, there's been over 100 people that filled out our request to offer support.
Yeah.
That's more than double the amount of people that asked to request support right now. And in the meantime, beyond the individuals that we've supported, there's been countless and countless amount of connections that we've made between organizations who are trying to help people, mm-hmm. between organizations who are working with city officials to find food distributors to help get food to local shelters that are now doing Code 19 in order to help the homeless population here in Buffalo, mm-hmm. to connecting people with internet providers and different like homeschooling activities that people can do, just for parents who now have to homeschool their kids. The Mutual Aid Network has helped countless people here in Buffalo across a wide variety of different circumstances. And has it been perfect? Absolutely not. But considering that we decided to get this done and pulled it together in as little amount of time as we did, I'm incredibly impressed at how much the community of Buffalo has pulled through.
I think you've done amazing work. I really do. And of course, you know that the resources of the Nomad Project and Desolation Angel Radio are available to you all the time. I think you know that. Clinton knows that. Whatever you need, you just ask, you know. Mm-hmm. And we'll do whatever we can. I saw a fascinating exchange the other night that I think you were part of. And it was involving somebody from Feed Buffalo. And don't we have one of the nation's leading experts on food scarcity living right here in Buffalo? Were you part of that exchange I saw?
Apparently, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about Samina's story, but I have connected with her a little bit over this week. Uh-huh. And the Mutual Aid Network will be moving to try and help all those who have asked for, all those who have asked for food support and groceries will now be working with Feed Buffalo starting next week.
Okay.
So they're going to be helping us in taking care of people when it comes to their grocery and shopping needs. And we will be helping folks that kind of fall through the cracks and either are not in the city of Buffalo or need things that are not groceries or other sort of needs that may come up throughout this crisis, because this is an evolving situation. People are going to have different needs in a week from now than they have today.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend this morning who is in isolation, whose sink faucet broke. And so it became a text network of, okay, who can get to Lowe's and get her a faucet set up? You know, does she have the right wrenches? Send us a picture. So it becomes that, I understand, it becomes that whole thing. There's going to be unique situations, you know, that come up. And the other thing that I'll offer you, of course, always, as you move to that model next week, is understand you always have me and my truck available. Always. You know?
Yeah, thank you. People can sign up with Feed More to be delivery volunteers. Mm-hmm. Right now they have a good amount of people. They could use some extra volunteers, whether it's to like chop mm-hmm. food or to bag some stuff, but, there's always ways to get involved. And, while some places that normally people volunteer at are obviously closed right now, there's definitely other places that people can get involved and do something if they really want to help. And in addition to that, there's ways to help from home, just to stay safe and still help. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage everybody to look and see how they can support, whether it's just your friends or your family, because we're all struggling right now. So mm-hmm. Just offering a listening ear can be incredibly helpful during these times.
Over here in South Buffalo, I know people that have walked up and down their block after printing out a sheet at home saying, mm-hmm. my name is, I live at this address down the street, here's my phone number. If you are immunocompromised, over 70, or if you're just afraid to go out, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with fear right now, you know. And
yeah.
But I mean, it's like people who are leaving their name and their number and saying, "Call me," you know, and we'll see what I can do to help. It's been amazing watching people step up. It really has. I'm old and I'm cynical. But I still say that people want to be good, and they'll do good if you give them a chance to be, you know? I have to believe that, and I want to believe that, and I do believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, it's necessary to believe that.
Right. Well, at least on our level, the common folks every day, the common folks every day people level. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that.
You and I have some definite ideas about that further up that hierarchy thing.
You're right. Right.
Yeah. I can't thank you enough for being who you are and being on the planet at this time and doing the things you do and just being Avi. You know, you're a pretty cool human being. You really are. You know.
Thank you very much, Kip. I really appreciate that, and I can say the exact same thing to you. We haven't known each other for very long, but we both recognize how much heart we both got, and how much we inspire and are part of our communities. It's really important to see yourself as part of that community now more than ever. We do live in a very individualistic culture, and it's very easy to think about, you know, either competition or survival. But what most people forget is that competition and all the things that make capitalism work run on collaboration, run on the fact that we are in this together and we do operate from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see how essential some of these people are. Like our grocery workers, like our truck drivers, and people like that. So
I was listening to something incredible yesterday, and it was General Honoré, whom I knew from New Orleans and the rebuild there,
mm-hmm.
and he was just speaking in general about what he sees in the nation. And I don't know if you've ever heard him speak, but he's an amazing man.
And I don't think so.
He helped lead the rebuild of New Orleans. General Honoré is amazing. But he said flat out, you know, that this is a chain and we are only as strong as the weakest link in the chain.
Right.
And right now everybody's part of that chain. And if anybody starts to falter, we have to help pick them up. And collaborative is exactly the word. This is a collaboration, and it's about community, collaboration, and communication.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, we can absolutely focus on stories like what is the North Carolina Senator Bill Burr, Georgia Senator from Georgia, who just got caught insider trading, making like billions of dollars on the, like, or millions of dollars on the New York Stock Exchange because they sold all these stocks and bought certain stocks before the big crash in the beginning of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got, like, privileged reports, you know, like Senator Bill Burr and this other senator from Georgia.
Yeah.
And, like, those stories can really make us forget that, you know, like, humans are ultimately good and can help us enrage us and frustrate us even more than we already are during these times.
Yeah.
But then, like, we hear stories, you know, that are just, you know, just heartwarming and inspiring and remind us that, you know, those stories are few and far between.
Right, because I keep hearing the inspiring stories. The five-star chefs who shut down their restaurants and are just now making meals for healthcare workers and frontline people. The number of mutual aid networks that have sprung up, the number of people saying, this is my neighbor, and my neighbor is over 70 and has a heart condition. I will grocery shop for them. I will pharmacy shop for them. The number of people who are saying, we can, you know, there's no doubt we're going to lose people in this. There's no doubt. And we will mourn our losses when it's over, and we will grieve. But there will come out of this, I firmly believe, a chance for us to celebrate us learning again how connected we all are and how important each and every one of us is, how every contribution means something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So one of my good friends was an organizer here in Buffalo for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Matthew, he's been connecting with these organizers out west. This one amazing, amazing author and speaker who does work with people who are coming out of gangs in South Central LA.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Orland Bishop. He's got some great books and podcasts that he's on. But he spoke with my friend Matthew the other day and just kind of shared how his vision of this whole thing, and he called it, this is a global initiation, especially for the West, to learn the lesson of interconnectedness and learn the lesson of interbeing. And it's through this initiation that we'll see you know, how the West comes out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Will it succeed in this initiation and realize the interconnectedness of everyone, or will it fail this initiation and, you know, self-destruct?
I spent a lot of time with a lot of elders over the decades, and the thing that the elders would teach us is the importance of understanding, not just saying, we are all connected.
Yeah.
We are all connected. And what happens to one will eventually happen to the other.
You
know, that we are, and interdependent is such a beautiful word because we are. We are interdependent on one another. And I hope that's the lesson we get out of this, is understanding we need one another. We need one another, and we need to accept one another and build one another up and make sure that nobody gets left behind. That's my hope coming out of that. Because you're talking to an old 60s guy. Who was a union man right from the beginning,
right?
And so I learned. I mean, it's like one of my educations in apprenticeship school. We had a course in how unions were built, you know, and what happened back, you know, during what happened back in the day, as guilds and unions were built, to understand that we're stronger together.
Yeah, you know,
and they can't do it without us.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because most of the times, the only thing that'll make this, like, people realize this is something like a war, is when, you know, humans and humans really don't get along and they start fighting each other to the point that they start killing each other, and then they have to get together behind to support that. And now we're in a different place, right? Like, it's not war per se,
but it is.
But it is,
yeah.
Right? Like, but it is.
Yeah.
But it's not like soldiers going off to war. It's like doctors going off to hospitals and field hospitals and nurses, you know, going in and risking their lives every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for a lot of Americans, they've never been around or known someone very personally who has been directly affected, like on American soil, by a crisis.
Yeah.
You know, these stories of school shootings are really, really terrible, but rarely does someone actually know someone who's been directly, affected by that. And then, 9/11 is the closest thing that I can think of that's that big, that affects mm-hmm. things nationally. Yeah. And I think, that's just a privilege that America has not faced.
And I had that talk with a friend of mine named Richard in Boston last week, and he was referencing 9/11. And my whole life has been marked by things like that. I literally can remember walking home from first grade because the buses weren't running on the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated. So I remember things like Dr. King, both Kennedys, Nixon getting on the helicopter, all those things that kind of shaped history. And I'm realizing how fortunate I am to have seen all of that. And now my obligation, because I'm still alive and still on the planet, is to take some of those lessons and come out of this and say, my generation screwed a lot of things up, but there's some of us that are willing to get out there and say, let's work to make it better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think just in general, for me, I was born in Israel. My middle name is Shalom. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was born in 93, right after the Oslo Accords with the Israeli and Palestinian governments. Mm-hmm. And 2 years after I was born, in 95, Israeli politics just radically changed. And there was a breakout of a lot of violence in between 95 and 2000. And I remember, even my family being scared when I was walking to my preschool and my brothers not being allowed to go on school buses in Jerusalem because there were suicide bombers. So there's all sorts of stories like these that I think a lot of people do not realize kind of how commonplace they are around the world. We've been shielded from that, and I think that's one of the strengths that America has. A lot of people have lived in a bubble that allows greater pleasures of certain things in life and less anxieties and less fears. It allows you to focus more time on education and studies and productivity and innovation. So, it's not a bad thing. I think that's been something that's actually really helped America stand out in the world, is by having a populace that's not scared of a lot of different things that many other folks around the world are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we're starting to kind of see the ripples of what happens when a generation that really hasn't seen something like this is forced to face it. And I have confidence that, there's more people out there like me and you doing this sort of work than we ever know.
I believe that. I really do believe that. It's not that I want to believe it, not that I have to believe it. I believe it to my core. That what you and I do, there's hundreds, thousands of other people doing. That there's good people out there.
Yeah.
I do. Oh, my friend, I love you so much, and I am looking forward to sharing a mango with you when this is over. For those who don't know, Javi has a thing. He does an entire mango series on Facebook, if you friend him. And it's actually quite enjoyable.
The mango missionary.
Yes, a mango missionary. So, me and my coffee, you and your mangoes.
That's right. I love you too, Kip. I appreciate you, Colin. I appreciate you doing this.
I love you, brother. I do. And we'll stay in touch. And as this continues, because as you know, this is, and for those who are friends of Avi that don't know me, you heard me on the intro. My name is Kip Williams. The Nomad Project is something that Avi can tell you about. I'm not going to talk about it on air. But it's a benefit and charity here in the city. Desolation Angel Radio is a show of mine that I've had for 8 years that I took all the paywalls down and is now a nightly show instead of a weekly to bring all these voices in, to give information, talk about where resources are, and talk about what's happening. So we've got a chronicle of these days and how these change. And Avi, I think, is an important part of it. And the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network can be found on Facebook, correct, Avi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Especially if you live in Buffalo. And even if you don't, I do know I sent a copy of, like, the resource guide to a friend of mine in New Hampshire who was so appreciative because he was trying to figure out how they start doing that there in his town.
That's great.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. So what you guys are doing is amazing. And of course, we talk on a fairly regular basis, even if it's just text. But I will talk to you again soon, my friend. Okay? Stay safe.
Thanks, Kip. You as well.
Yeah.
Take care. Yeah.
So that was the interview with Avi Shalom. And I love that man. He has such a big heart. You heard me say it, and I'll talk about it after the interview with Bridge. The resources that I have available to help you or someone you know. You heard it from Avi about the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network. You're about to hear from Bridge, who's been instrumental in the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network and starting that peer-to-peer paradigm of folks supporting one another and helping one another out. I got a piece of music I'm going to play just before that interview. I'll play it right now. We'll get into the interview with Bridge, and then I'll talk at you a little bit, and we will go from there.
foxes in the hen house, cows out in the corn. The unions have been busted, the proud red banners torn. To listen to the radio, you think it all was well. You and me and Cisco know it's going straight to hell. So come back, Amagola, rise up, old Joe Hill. The barricades are going up, and they cannot break our will. Come back to us, Malcolm. Marching into Selma as the bells of freedom ring. So come back, Woody Guthrie, come back to us now. Until eyes from paradise and rise again somehow.
And as I talked about in the intro, I'm on the phone with Bridge from here in Buffalo with the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network. How are you today, Bridge?
I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. So are you originally from Buffalo?
I grew up in Central New York, and then went to school in Albany. But my folks are from Buffalo, so that's how I wound up out here.
Yeah. Yeah. So in these strange days that we live in that are going to change everything forever, what do you see now? What are your feelings? What do you see in out on the streets? What are you seeing in people?
What I'm seeing is, quite honestly, much of the same that that many of us have been experiencing, for all our lives. It's all aggravated and, accelerated at the moment. Like, I used to work in a food pantry and, we'd have clients who would be there like every month, every single month, was a, crisis, for them. There's still all those folks who are out there right now, in that crisis mode. Just now with additional, needs on top, if you play video games, there's, damages, stacking damages, that's what people are experiencing right now is, all of a sudden, we're in a boss mode, we're fighting against, something that's, unprecedented in many of our lives, it's just blowing apart, a lot of the systems. They're in place. I have a background in planning and I've done some work with a lot of the area nonprofits and they were all caught off guard, it's now been a few weeks since a lot of the shutdowns started to happen. So they've all been able to adjust and are able to change their footing. It's still rough out there for a lot of folks.
Oh, it's definitely rough. It's going to get rougher. And when we come out of this, there are going to be a lot of people in very, very bad shape. And mm-hmm. I've said it in interview after interview with people. It's not just surviving this. It's going to be how do we come out of this and put things in place to make sure that people can keep the lights on, can eat. Do have basic necessities to live with and because it's not going to be there for a lot of people.
It wasn't here before,
It wasn't here before. We talked about, you worked in a food pantry and I've done work with shelters and missions. And I think a lot of people were blind to the fact and not deliberately so, but blinded by so many other distractions as to how desperate so many people have had it for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is interesting where we're going with this, and I'll tell you this right now. I know I had a long conversation with an old friend of mine today, Imani, whom I've known 30 years, and she's on the same page, and she'll be in tomorrow night's show on an interview, and I want to make sure she listens to this one, because she and I had the same conversation about breaking paradigms, you know, about shifting the power over paradigm into a power between.
There's a phrase that a lot of us, like, yeah, I know you talked to Clinton a few days ago, and a lot of us in, like, co-op world, you know this phrase is that another world is possible, and there's a lot of folks that I know, like, you know, from the co-op community, from the nonprofit community, you know, and just folks in general, like, who are really taking that to heart, that, like, you know, it's rough, but, you know, like, there is a potential coming out of this, like, you know, if we do things right, you know, that there is a potential coming out of this, like, you know, in a better place for many folks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've got a whole thing about listening to Nako and Medicine for the People right now. He's been preaching that musically for 10, 12 years now. We've got to do something different, and we can. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I talked with Clinton, I talked with Avi, but I know you're one of the center posts, one of the big tent poles for the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network. I watched it right from the beginning as you started putting documents in, putting them together, and inputting into that Facebook group. You saw a need there and you just stepped in and started to build. How did that happen?
Well, so I had seen, like, a lot of folks on, you know, social media, not just Facebook, but on Twitter and, like, all over, who were sharing a lot of resources, like, from communities that were already affected. Like, in particular, the Seattle, you know, COVID response team is, you know, like, Seattle was, like, being affected by this, like, a few weeks before, you know, NYC started seeing, like, the heavy impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was seeing, like, these resources that are floating around. And I was like, well, you know, and Clinton actually put, like, the question up, like, you know, do we have one of these for Buffalo yet? And I'd seen that question, like, a few people had, like, posted it, and I was like, well, no, so, like, let's do it. It's not that hard, you know, like, it just needs done. So, you know, we threw together some Google Forms, we threw together the Facebook group, and it's been a collective effort, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, like, really the Facebook group is really just, like, a bouncing off point for folks, you know, to take, organizing efforts elsewhere and, you know, just get coordinated with others. Mutual Aid is nothing new. You know, like, it's something that's been around for, you know, like, you know, since humans have been, you know, it's just, like, it's a different framing for things like, you know, like, in the Great Depression, like, you know, farmers, you know, stopped banks from foreclosing on other farms by refusing to bid on their neighbor's farms.
Absolutely. You know,
Or like the Black Panthers, you know, like to set up food exchanges, you know, and like and food deliveries for folks like within their communities.
Mm-hmm.
Or even like fishes, you know.
Yeah, and at my age, and I'm glad you said that, that's something that really gets to me, is that people do not know the true history of the Black Panthers or what they did. Mm-hmm. There's this media-driven narrative about this violent mm-hmm. group that, I'm sorry, folks, I was there, I lived it. You know, mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. what really happened was, is a group of people got together within their own culture and began to take care of one another, making sure mm-hmm. that food was on the table, that medical care was there. That's what it was about, sharing power. Again, shifting that power
exactly.
over the paradigm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like neighbors stepping up for neighbors, you know, in lieu of, any supports, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like if there are no supports for you, you gotta, you know, like, we all just gotta step up and, like, and make those supports for each other.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And that's it. It makes my heart so happy to hear that. It really does. I'm sitting here a little tongue-tied, but it makes my heart so happy to hear that, because as somebody who was born in 1957 and lived through that whole era of the 60s and 70s, and then watched it kind of fizzle out and die, and watched my entire generation sell out, basically. And now this has come, this virus has come to teach us all a lesson about collaboration and cooperation and community and connection. I mean, that is in there. And I'm watching things happen like the Mutual Aid Network. I'm watching, and I said this to Avi earlier today, people, everyday people, common people like you and I, they're good. If you give them the chance to be good, they will. And if you give people the chance to help, they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched this amazing thread on the Mutual Aid Network the other night about Feed Buffalo. And I think the comment came out that we have one of the country's leading experts in food scarcity living here in Buffalo. I was not sure.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so there's she leads this organization right now called Seeding Resilience, which, you know, like, they're like, you know, like, I feel like the Mutual Aid Network is going to be able to, like, shift pretty soon away from, like, grocery delivery, because, like, this new organization is, like, going to be able to, like, really hone in on that, which will, like, let us, like, focus on, like, other needs that the community has.
Mm-hmm.
But her name is Sunina Raja, and she actually is, like, at the UB food planning systems program. So if you Google the UV planning department, that's where she's at. And, you know, it really is, like, remarkable that, you know, like, we have, you know, so many amazing people here in Western New York. You know, Samina is, like, you know, part of, like, you know, our community that, you know, and we really benefit from having her around.
I read that thread, and it was just like, we have one of the country's leading experts on food scarcity and food distribution. You know, we're so fortunate to have that here. And Avi had said to me today that the move on delivering groceries was going to start to transition to that, because that's something I've been doing, and I need to get a hold of them and offer my truck and my services, you know, to do that. So, and I'll also tell you that I've told Clinton this, I've told Avi that. Whatever I can do, my truck, the Nomad Project, this radio station can do for the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely yours, and I'll do it in a heartbeat.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and like, they're the two people you really want to be talking to about that, you know, and, you know, like, they've been like really taking lead on, like, coordinating, a lot of the deliveries and things.
Right.
So, like, as long as, I'm sure, I am absolutely guaranteed they will be in contact with you. to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And because what I've noticed is you, and I believe it's you, you've got some incredible forms and guides you've put together. That big resource guide I've actually sent it to a couple people to say, this is the framework of how it got built. I mean, I really think that's a masterful document.
Yeah, and it's been a community effort, you know, like, I plugged in, like, the initial parts of it, but, you know, it's meant to be, like, just a living document that, you know, like, anybody can plug into it, anybody can add to it, you know, and, you know, it really is remarkable. It started off as, like, you know, like, just a few pages, and I think it's, like, you know, like, 20 pages at this point, you know, just with different links, you know, for anything you can imagine.
And I think, and I need to say this for anybody that might be listening that doesn't live in Buffalo and is trying to figure out how to start a mutual aid network in their area. It's not just this one little interview. The Buffalo Mutual Aid Network is a public group, and those documents are pinned and available to people, correct?
Am I right? And, we're plugged into, as part of, like, a much larger network, you know, like, if you go to mutualaidhub.org, there's mutual aid projects all across the country, you know, we're all, like, connecting, through a national Slack, you know, to just, like, coordinate and, like, share resources.
Mm-hmm.
I got in, like I said, initially I got, like, really involved in this, like, just, like, copying and pasting, a lot of the work that folks had already developed out of Seattle. It's just like, you're just getting plugged into, like, this network, and folks can reach out to me, and I can help direct them that way, or they can just just go to like mutualaidhub.org and you know, find the closest group. And if there is no closest group, you know, just you know, connect to any of us and we'll get you rolling.
Cool. So this would be, let's see, just like Woody Guthrie sang about. And if if I want to go all the way back to Plato and Seneca, the true definition of democracy, and away from what we've been living in and experiencing, and trying to build something better, at my age, because I don't make any bones about my age, at my age that makes me so happy. It really does to see this begin to happen. You know, and say, okay, I wasn't wrong, you know, all the way back in 1968. I wasn't wrong in 1974. I wasn't wrong in 1978. This is a possibility. Yeah. You know, it can happen. Yeah. Wow. Bridge, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Folks, if you're looking for these resources that Bridge has been talking about, again, Facebook, it's the Buffalo Mutual Aid Network, and I think, and you said on the web itself, it was mutualaidwhat.org?
Mutualaidhub, H-U-B.org.
Okay, mutualaid, yeah.
I do want to just also shout out, if you do have, like, any older listeners, AARP actually is, like, you know, helping, you know, folks, like, start mutual aid groups, too. So if you go to AARPCommunityConnections.org, you can also get connected.
And I do have. There's most of my friends are definitely over the age of 50. Okay, most of my friends are definitely over the age of 60. And I can just keep going up with that number. but yeah, and I think I did not know that, and that's really nice to know.
Okay. It's really like very heartening to me to like to see like like a lot of these established organizations are like you know, really recognizing this as a tool, tool for outreach and tool for work.
And you're right when you're saying that people are just reaching out to one another and people have resources. I actually had a living example of it yesterday. A friend of mine, despite all this, did have to move on the first. And couldn't get a couch out of her apartment. Called her landlord and said, I can leave it here for the next people. And the landlord lost their mind, said, oh no, I'm going to take it off your security deposit. Everything has to be cleaned out of there. And so my friend is standing there crying. And I called a friend of mine, Carly, who works for the city and works in the housing authority. And all of a sudden phone calls started flashing back and forth. You never saw a landlord backing up so fast. when they were getting calls from all over the city from people working at home going, say what? You're going to do what?
And that's exactly the sort of thing we got to be watching out for, you know, and watching each other's backs about.
And I think that's the whole point, that this isn't, that's what this is really about, is watching one another's backs and understanding we're all equal in this. And we're what we have. And we have to cover one another's backs. Because we're all we got, and that's enough. You know, we can do this. And I'm what we're going through is earth-shaking and tremendous and will change things forever. And yes, we will experience losses, all of us. But I think what comes out of it later, and like I say, I want you to listen to tomorrow night as well with Imani, because she and I talk about shifting that energetically. And really changing, and she and I have a long talk about changing the language and changing the words so that it becomes, this is what I want. I signed up for this. I made this decision and we're going to make this better and we're going to make it, you know, very much better. And I'll make sure she listens to tonight's as well. Bridge, thank you so much for taking the time to call. And as I say, anything I can do here at all, you know I'm good for it. Okay.
Yep. We'll be in contact.
All right, Bridge. Thank you so very much. You have a great night.
Yeah, you too, hon. Good talking to you.
Yep. Okay. So that was Bridge. And you've heard the interviews with Bridge and Avi. Hang in for a second because I generally give the second guest always the opportunity to pick a closing song, and Bridge picked a good one tonight. On a personal note, if you're listening to this, This is Desolation Angel Radio. You probably got to it through a link that is in Podbean. It's in Podbean, Desolation Angel Radio. The paywalls are down. Everything for 8 years, and most especially this last month, where I'm on the air every night with interviews with different people, and we talk about resources, information, fact. I've had nurses and respiratory therapists. I've had artists. I've had people from Buffalo Mutual Aid. I've had so many different people with their thoughts and observations, and you can be part of it too, because I want this to be a record of everybody's voices that are contributing in a way that helps other people, because that's what this is about. My whole life I've wanted to do the right thing. That's all I can remember. And I've got a lot of red in my ledger, but I can do some good now. I can do some good now. And other people are doing the same thing. I'm not the only one. And when I started, and you can hear it in the very first show about a month ago, and I was talking about just offer my services up to members of the vulnerable population to do grocery and pharmacy runs. And I said, if I'm the only one, so be it. But I'm willing to bet that I'm not, and I'm not. There are so many of you that are angels. Yeah, we're all fallen angels. Every one of us. We've all got broken halos and clipped wings. But I think it's us broken ones that know how to get out there in the street and make things happen, because we know what it's like to hurt. And so we know how important it is for somebody to hold a hand out and say, I can help you. And we all have to do that with physical distancing right now. The nature of this virus demands it. So it's got to be a metaphorical from 6 to 8 foot away handout. But the fact that we're doing it is amazing, because there's so many people stepping up to help other people. My name's Kip Williams. This is Desolation Angel Radio. Like I said, you can find it with no paywall. It's a podcast. You can find it on Podbean, the whole library. You can find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can subscribe there. I want to hear from you, and you can depend on us to continue to give you information and resources, and to try and act like some kind of little beacon of hope. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. I know Imani, Ms. Imani is one of my guests, and she has been a friend for 30 years, and we had an amazing conversation. Keep the faith, folks. Keep the faith, because I'm about to go into this song, and it's not cheesy when I say we can be heroes, all of us, even if it's only for one day.
We've had a lovely, lovely evening.
But you can be me. I'll drink all the time, 'cause we're lovers. That is the fact. Yes, we're lovers. And that is that. Oh, nothing who drives them away. We can beat them just one day. We can be heroes just one day. What you say, I say. I wish I could swim like dolphins. Like dolphins can swim. Oh, nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. One day.
Thank you so much. Woo! Woo!